Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
You guys out there saying, oh, Jake Paul's not a real boxer, he's not boxing real people. The fact that you're even saying that shows you're engaged, shows you know what's happening.
What's going on, guys?
Welcome back to Watch Time. That was actually not planned, and that was pretty damn solid. We are back again for another week of talking about all things internet, and this week is actually quite unique, as it will be the final week where we are recording in this current location with this background and this brick wall that people who watch the video YouTube version have all come to love.
Right before we started this, we were like, what should we be titling this week's episode? What are we talking about? Maybe we could title it The End of Watch Time.
The last Watch Time episode. Oh my God, that's like quintessential YouTube clickbait where it's like, it is true, but it's not
true.
Yeah,
it's like, it's ironic, but it's like.
Yeah, and then people click and they're like, oh, okay, I guess that was a fair title, but like, fuck you.
It's the end of an era.
It is the end of this office building's era. So essentially, Sydney, obviously, as we've talked about in previous weeks, currently we're still in lockdown. It looks like we're definitely going to be in just as strict a lockdown for at least about another month and a half. They're all governments like when we hit 70% vaccination, right? That's when they'll start laxing things again because we're definitely not getting rid of it now. Delta has escaped the stable and it's fucking gone down the road. She's here to stay. Yeah, we're going to be in lockdown for another month and a half. The lease on this building is coming up. So we are going to be acquiring new office space in the new year, but with lockdown, it really just doesn't make sense to keep on renting such a big production level space with really no one even here. It's kind of obscene.
Yeah. I'm bittersweet about it though. Like I always kind of get excited about like the start of a new chapter, but also this building has been so major for us. Like,
yeah, this was a big office move.
Huge move.
We literally went from the granny flat above my garage to here.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't like a gradual progression. It was like, no, granny flat to giant converted four-story warehouse.
I just have such fond memories of like when we found this space and moving in here and just like at that time thinking like, oh, what's the next 2 years going to hold for us? Mm. That was how long we signed the lease for. And just like the people that have been through here and like the videos that have been filmed here, like we filmed so many click videos here. We've filmed boys videos here. We've filmed thousands of Watch Time episodes. Like
it's been
and just
a journey.
Like good times. I don't know. Like, you know, the clique that moved into this office is a really different clique to the one that's moving out of it.
Mm.
And I'm so proud of us.
And the team's grown so much. I think like the clique management team alone is like approaching 20.
Crazy.
And if you're interested in a talent manager role, the team's growing.
We are hiring, but you do have to be in Sydney. It's kind of like a nice time to reflect because at the moment we are everyone on the team is doing like self-assessments and reflections where we basically like we have a form and like we all reflect on like what are the things that have gone really well the past year? What are our goals for the next year? And one of the questions is, you know, around like how well, how good a place Click's been to work. And it's just, I don't even think I've shown you any of these answers yet, but it's just so cool. Like it's truly cool to just see how many people on the team love coming to work at Click. And like, it's just wild to me that this little thing that we started as like a side project four and a half years ago now employs like 20 people. And like, there's 20 people in the world that when someone asks them, like, where do you work? They say, oh, I work at Click. And like, you know what I mean?
Mm.
I don't know if that sounds
cool.
Silly.
No,
but like,
no,
for me, I think like one of my proudest achievement 100% in the last 2 years of being in this office is the fact that we are leaving with a team that is so good and cohesive and like happy to be doing what we're doing.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I love how it is, but I'm also very excited to move because It's like, you know, when you were a kid and you're in your room, you're like, oh, I'm going to rearrange the furniture. Yeah. You know, I'm going to put the bed in that corner or the desk in that corner.
Yep.
And like, and you just move stuff around and you walk into your room. You're like, whoa, I'm a different human.
Yeah.
Like that, but like a whole new building.
I feel so inspired when I'm working in a new place. Like oftentimes when I, even when we're working at home right now, like I'll move spots throughout the day because if I'm trying, if I'm starting to get a little bit like slow or I'm not moving as quickly with my work, I'll like move somewhere new. And I'm like, whoo, all right, I'm invigorated.
Yeah, literally. It's very invigorating to move location.
Yeah.
Very, very exciting. I'm super, super keen. I know that you're keen. And
it does mean that it's the end of the iconic brick wall though, for a while.
Until we find another brick wall, a better brick wall, an even brickier wall.
And we're not sure. Yeah. I mean, we're not sure exactly when that's going to be. We're going to be back to digital episodes for a little bit, but we're okay. We're good with that.
Watch time 2022 now with more brick.
Dude, that's who's going to be take our the line. Sign? The sign in the background of our
storage. That's where it's going.
Storage?
I think so. Okay. I've got a lot of crap in
my
house.
I put it in my bedroom.
I just got done cleaning out my house. I do not have room for more stuff. But yeah, anyway, the good news is there will be a new office tour video, which we could actually post on the Watch Time channel.
Oh, we could.
We could actually start doing some non-only podcast content.
That could actually be really fun.
Yeah, that could be a fun breakup. So we might do a new office tour in a couple of months when we move in. Get excited, get hyped, because it's going to be very, very lit. The only thing that I'm not looking forward to is re-soundproofing everything, because you guys can't see from the angle that you watch this podcast out, or you can't see it all if you're just listening to it. But we have cladded many walls in this office with soundproofing. Took a long time, was not especially cheap. So we are going to need to do that again. But yep. Anyway, new office space should be exciting.
Should be exciting.
Now on to how was your week?
My week has been pretty good. Honestly, it's been a little stressful the last couple of weeks, but that's okay. Stress and like going through tough times is all about how you frame it in your mind. And I think I've gotten into such a positive mindset now. Literally, I think about it like a muscle. Like, you know, when you go to the gym and you're like getting stronger and you're like, and the only way to get stronger is by exercising your muscles. Like sometimes I think that, I think, you know, and you would probably attest to this, is a few years ago, probably one of my weaknesses, and definitely in work, was my resilience. I think I'm a massive people pleaser. I really have like a strong desire to keep people happy around me. And the reality of life is that that's just not always going to be the case. Like you can be the ripest, juiciest peach in the shop, and some people just aren't going to like peaches. And I think
never heard that before.
Really, I like that. Resilience is a muscle that you can only exercise through going through difficult times. And I think I'm in a much better place now where like I can go through something stressful or difficult, and it can be difficult. I recognize it's hard. And at the same time, I'm like, fuck, I'm getting strong. Like, I'm like, I am building some serious resilience right now, and knowing that I'm going to be able to take that and be better prepared for whatever the future is going to give me.
Yeah. Like, no, 100%.
You know, I'm being very in a positive mindset around it now. Obviously there's ups and downs and I get stressed and upset as much as the next person. But I don't know. Do you think, like, I feel like 3 years ago you would need to give me like little pep talks all the time, but like,
yeah, no, you very much back in the day, like even the, cause obviously the business that we're in, and especially you're in, is like so many emotions and relationships, and
there's a lot of stakeholders,
everything from, you know, juggling how a brand feels, to how a talent feels, to how all the employees feel, to like everything. There's so much going on. And like you say, like there are always, you could do the greatest thing in the world, there's always going to be, for whatever reason, bumps that happen in relationships all around the shop. And I remember it could be the slightest thing, like someone voicing, like being like, oh, I wasn't 100% happy with like an edit on a click video. And like, even those things wouldn't necessarily trigger a whole like issue, but you wouldn't really cope with them well. Whereas now I definitely think you're learning to process things healthily. Like kind of, if there's an issue, look at it objectively. Is there something you could have done? Is there like an issue that realistically you should be concerned about, or are there just, you know, kind of things that are out of your control? And I think sometimes there are just things out of your control, and you're doing a much better job at cruising that off. Whereas I was always too far on the other end. Anything could happen. There could be a hurricane like coming towards me, like, oh, just fucking
she'll probably be right. You know, not ideal, but
Elliot and I, yin and yang in like many ways.
Very yin and yang.
But it's good. I do think we balance each other out. But I think that desire comes from a good place where I've always wanted to like do well, you know? And I think like pre-click, when I was working in a much more structured corporate environment, to be honest, like the path or the recipe for success was quite clear. Mm. It was like, you know, do all these things and you'll do a good job. And so it was quite easy for me to, I don't want to like be one of those people that like, you know, is like, oh, I'm such an overachiever. It's hard. But like, you know what I mean? It was like easy. I always felt like I got a lot of satisfaction from external validation. Like I would want other people to be like, you did a good job on that. And that is a weakness. I don't mean that in a sarcastic or like a self-deprecating way. Like it is a weakness because coming then into a job where you're working for yourself, no one is going to give you that external validation.
Yeah, that's true actually.
No one is there to give it to you. No one's going to pat you on the back and say you've done a good job. You actually need to be able to
self-validate.
Be really objective with yourself and know when you can say, you know what, you had a really tough day and you did a good job.
I never thought about that.
Or you need to be able to say, you know what, you could have done better there. And so I think like that's also been a skill that's developed a lot.
See, like I am my own boss with YouTube, but I do kind of get a little bit of external validation when I like, when you log into your dashboard and YouTube has a little confetti effect and it's like, your latest video is a 1 out of 10.
Dude, I reckon YouTubers almost suffer with the opposite issue where it's too much.
No. It is. But that's the thing. It's either the best or it's the worst because either you're on an uptick and you've got like a cheerleader in your corner being like, you go, man, look, fucking knocking 1 out of 10 every video.
Oh,
you're like, you're kicking goals right now, man. Revenue up 10%. You go, man. Subscribers up. Or it's the opposite and you're on a downtick for the month or two and you wake up every morning and like, and YouTube.
Like people don't like this.
You're lying in bed and you just pull up your phone and YouTube's just like, why even bother getting out of bed, you fucking failure? What's that? 10 out of 10 on your most recent video? Why do you even exist?
But I think that's true. Like, I think there was a period probably like 5 to 7 years ago where you were just completely obsessed with analytics. Mm. You'd be checking every single day numbers. And there's a point where you need to also be able to switch off and like say, actually, I don't need this external sort of validation or critique, I suppose. And I've got to be able to give it to myself and say like, yeah, no, you did a good job regardless of how many people watch my video. Oh, I feel like I could do a rookie episode on that. Yeah, rookie CEO is my other podcast, by the way, guys, if you want to listen to that. It's much more on the business side of things, which I know a lot of people, we get a lot of feedback on Watch Time saying people really like the insight into the business. So there's a little insight of the week.
The other thing that happened this week was Jake Paul punched a guy and he got punched back a bit, but then he punched him back and It was. I mean, honestly, I've got to give respect because the thing is, every single time people make an excuse for why like the fight wasn't a real fight, they have taken it up a notch and fought a better person, both the Paul brothers.
Okay, I fully agree. I fully agree. And I was talking about this today. I'm doing boxing like 3 times a week at the moment. Not quite Jake Paul level, but you know, we'll get there. And we were talking and the conversation came up again and you know, the other guy I was with was like, oh, well, like he's still not fighting real boxers though, you know? I'm just like, for God's sake, give a guy a break. Like, he's not a real boxer either. So why are you putting him against this? I don't know. I agree. People love to hate. People love to hate and make excuses for people and like tall poppy syndrome. Whatever.
Here's the thing though. And I think this is the important distinction. And I do think that they actually both the Paul brothers erred too much in making this mistake when they first started doing this whole like boxing path where they referred to themselves too much as like, I am a boxer. I am a legitimate boxer while they were not really boxing legitimate boxers. Whereas I think a lot more now, the angle they're going with and what they're owning is like, we're entertainers. We're putting on a show and it's a fucking good show. And at the end of the day, they want to show how much they can do and they are fighting better and better people. But at the end of the day, they're no longer trying to be like, I'm a legitimate boxer. I could take on the best in the world. They are really leaning into the entertainment side.
Well, do you know what's interesting though, is that you use that word legitimate, like I'm not a legitimate boxer. And I think it's like, are they moving to a place where they're not trying to claim to be legitimate boxers? Or is it just moving to a place where it's like being a legitimate boxer isn't better or worse than being great entertainment.
No, that's what I mean. Yeah.
And
they're not trying to claim to be something that they're not anymore.
Yeah. Right.
Which is good. That's a good direction to go because it's harder to hate on. You're like, because if Jake Paul and Logan Paul stand there and like, we are entertainers. I mean, literally Logan Paul last fight, when he, the song he came out to, you know, they have entrance songs.
Yeah.
His entrance song was The Greatest Showman.
Yeah.
Like the musical, like most people come out to like really hardcore, like rap shit. He literally a musical, The Greatest Showman, which is such just like a, like, I think very much him it's like owning that brand.
Fuck you. Yeah. I am exactly who I am.
Yeah.
It's like that thing. It's like, if you make fun of your weaknesses, no one else can.
You know, what was, you know, the craziest outcome though, that I think came out of this Jake Paul fight is, the guy who he beat, who I'm fully forgetting the name of, basically in the like post-ring interview was like, I want to have a rematch. And then, you know, Jake and Logan Paul were like, nah, you had your chance. And then he kept pushing it in the ring and was like, oh, you know, you won't fight me again. You won't fight me again. And then Jake was like, look, I'll rematch you when you get I Love Jake Paul tattooed on you. And I think obviously he didn't think that the guy would say yes. The guy's fully said, you got a deal. And then followed up on Twitter because Jake Paul posted, okay, I'll do it. But the tattoo specifications are like 2 by 3 inches, must be visible even with a shirt and pants on, like fully, fully like iterated out. And he replied, yep, sounds good. Send me a contract. So like, I actually don't know if there's going to be
incredible
a chill way for him to back out of doing this fight again. And the thing is, I think the guy he was fighting, who was a very, very accomplished, I believe, MMA fighter.
Yeah.
I think that he was a bit cautious. And I think that's the general perspective, is that he's an absolute weapon of a human, knows how to take someone down. But obviously I think there was a very strong feeling that he definitely didn't want to get knocked out. So because of that, he was, at least until the final round, really quite cautious. And there was one moment where Jake got absolutely dazed and was fully up against the ropes, like on his back, and he didn't go in for the kill, which some people are like, oh, the fight was rigged. Definitely don't think that was the case, but I do think he was very much like on the cautious side. Yeah. And I really wonder if this rematch happens. Far out, this MMA guy, he's a big boy. Like Jake's pretty big, but this guy's big and he's knocked a lot of people out in his day. I would be because I think he would just train. I think a lot of people, and I think the downfall of a lot of these fighters is they're going into these fights against Jake and Logan Paul and like, oh yeah, bro, he's just a YouTuber, you know, like, yeah, he's fought some like nobodies before, but like, I'm a real fighter. Like, yeah, like I'll train a bit, but like, he's a YouTuber. It's going to be done.
Yeah.
And so many have gone in with that perspective and they have come out very much finding out that while he might be a YouTuber, he is a YouTuber who can throw a punch.
There's so much to be learned from the Paul brothers. And I think they are, people can critique them all you want. And I think they're absolutely open to critique, but I think they are incredible entertainers and they know how to generate a conversation. They know how to generate engagement. They know how to just like activate energy in people in a way that I think very, very few creators have a natural ability to do.
You know what? Hate it more you want. They cashed a big check from all these fights. Very, very big checks.
How much?
Well, okay, how big are the checks? I don't quite believe this number because this was not the number that got reported on the official, on any of the official paychecks. In fact, it was a 20th of this, like an absolute fraction. But Jake Paul tweeted after, feels good being 10% closer to a billionaire, which obviously implies a $100 million payday. Now, we don't know exactly what pay-per-view take was, but I think that does seem a bit too crazy because even some of these huge MMA fights, you know, like the biggest fighters are barely getting that much or not even getting that much.
Yeah.
So that does seem a bit crazy, but I do agree it was probably quite a large payday. And as long as they're making money, and they're probably happy. And speaking of good paydays, you know who else got a good payday this week? Did you like that segue? I was setting that up.
I don't even know where we're going, but please take it away.
Dr. Lupo.
Dude, Dr. Lupo did get a payday.
The newest big streaming contract has landed, ladies and gentlemen. And it is Dr. Lupo who is moving over to the big old YT YouTube from Twitch, which is maybe not quite as like giant a landmark streamer as some of their previous ones, but definitely a pretty significant signing.
Who are you thinking like is the most landmark?
I mean, I'm thinking about, I don't know, I don't think I could really name one for YouTube. YouTube's strategy, it seems up till now, has definitely focused more on getting their big YouTube creators and
streaming,
getting them to stream. But, and they haven't done the ones in the past have obviously been Valkyrae, who wasn't as big when she was on Twitch when she first moved over. But oh my God, what a move by YouTube, because they have.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Absolutely. Valkyrae is huge now. And Dr. Lupo, Courage JD, he was the other big one. Dr. Lupo, I would say, is about on that Courage JD level.
See, I think it's really interesting that you say that because I know what you mean. I think Lupo isn't, you know, he's not a Shroud. He's not a ninja. He's not a Dr. Disrespect, but I think Lupo is like a poster child of Twitch.
Yeah.
He is a poster child of Twitch. And I think Twitch would be pretty devastated to lose him. Like if I was Twitch, he's just, it's not even, there are some creators where it's actually less about their size, I think, and more about what they're standing for and what they're representing for the platform.
Yeah.
And I think the work that Lupo has done, particularly all of his charity work, like that is important for Twitch. It is really, I guarantee you, when Twitch is going out to market and they're talking to people, they need their poster children of the platform, and they're not always going to be the biggest people. Because if you think about the biggest people on Twitch, maybe they're not super brand safe. Maybe they're not representing exactly what you want to be able to show that the platform is able to offer creators. Lupo is that for me. Mm. Like he's a good person, you know,
Dr. Lupo is doing really good work.
Like I think it's a gap to fill for Twitch.
Lupo is one of the nicest creators I think I've ever met. And I've, you know, and I haven't really had obviously in-person interaction with him since COVID, but every single time I have met him, just a lovely human. Remember after the Pro-Am in Melbourne, ran into each other at the airport. Every time I see that man, a delight, a true lovely delight. Love the man to death. And definitely a big one now. But I think the interesting thing is, are we going to see a new spate of kind of creator signings? Like, is YouTube going to make another big next generation move? Because, you know, all the kind of original signings for YouTube contracts for streaming happened 2 years ago now. So it's
wild. Do you remember, like, that 2 years sounds like a long time, but like when all those stream wars were happening, that was a crazy time.
It's just a big coronavirus black hole. Dude. Like I can't place the last 2 years. I can't say if they felt long or short because they simultaneously feel like a very, very long 2 years and a very, very short 2 years. I really can't place the last 2 years at all. But yes, effectively, I'm very interested to see if YouTube's about to do, because a lot of the time when these signings happen, they happen in short succession. So it'll be like, because, you know, big companies, they have budgets for set amounts of time. They're like, okay, we need to calculate our spend for this area of the business over the next 2 years, go.
Yeah.
So a lot of the time, the people in charge of that would have been handed a budget, said, find the best creators you can, go. And I'm very interested to see if we're about to see more creators get pulled off. And you know what else I think is very interesting? This is definitely, definitely not something that Twitch is no longer thinking about. And you know how I know that?
How?
About 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago now, both Lannan, Lockie, and myself, who have had verified ticks on Twitch for 5-6 years, and we've always had them, got them removed.
Interesting.
Years after we started streaming on YouTube, well, 2 years, they were like, oh, we've got to get those guys. And then they removed our verified ticks, which was just like, we're literally all browsing Twitch one day, and then Lockie posted in chat, and then I checked, and then Lannan checked, and we're all like, son of a bitch. So it's still something that I think they're definitely thinking about is that kind of holding, trying to keep people on Twitch and on the platform.
Yeah, I think, as I've said before, I think platform activity and platform signing creators is always a great outcome for creators long term.
Definitely.
It's really interesting that you say that because I had a meeting actually yesterday afternoon with the head of YouTube for Asia Pacific. Great guy.
Weird flex.
And and it was really interesting, you know. He was asking a lot about our experience with the different YouTube products, especially live. And I found it really encouraging. Like, they're quite aware of some of the shortfalls or shortcomings that they still have and improvements that they can make to the streaming product on YouTube. But the progress, like, it made me reflect on, like, some of that feedback we gave in the first couple months of you starting streaming on YouTube. And then to see where that's gone now, like, it's just crazy.
Yeah, I think when you're working with big companies, sometimes as a creator, it can be a little bit frustrating because as a creator, you're like, I want to do this. So you do it.
Yeah.
You want to jump, you jump. You want to make a video, you make a video. You want to do anything, you
just do it
and it's instant. But you do have to realize with these huge companies, and this is what I, and it literally, this is not a Google YouTube thing. This is every single company on planet Earth. Almost every feature that I've ever seen a company try and roll out is probably something that has been in the works for two, three years.
Absolutely.
Like, I know a lot of the like Twitch features, for example, because obviously Twitch is rolling out new features all the time. Like, a lot of the time, those things I heard like about from someone I would know who was working at Twitch 2 years before you even see them.
Yeah.
And that person probably only found out after it had been worked on for a year. So a lot of these, it's crazy how much people, I think, a lot of the time think of the tech industry as really, you know, fast moving, fail fast, fail quickly, whatever that line is. But a lot of the time with these big features, companies are really, really taking their time.
Yeah, I agree. Anyway, exciting. And exciting happy for stuff. Lupo. I hope he's
very happy.
I hope he's getting a bag.
Yeah. Me too. Hope he's not doing it for free.
He ain't doing that. All right, let's move on to our last topic for today. Addison Rae, TikTok star, one of the biggest TikTok stars on the platform, had her Netflix movie released. Now, it's not really her Netflix movie, but she was starred.
Definitely a
starred
pool.
In the remake of She's All That, which is now He's All That. And the movie released a couple of days ago. It immediately went to the number one most watched movie on Netflix, basically around the world. And I think what was interesting about this, and this is like, this is no hate from my side, and I want to make that really clear. I dislike automatically putting people down that have started in one box and try something else. I really am not for that. It's not nice energy. But
you know a good example?
I'm going to be objective.
Just very quickly, KSI with his music. Everyone was like, what are you doing? You're an idiot. Now he's performing in front of huge festival crowds.
Yeah, 100%. This movie objectively, however, was not reviewed well. It was considered not good. I would say
I love how you're not like, it was a bad movie. You're like, the critics have said. And actually the audiences have said that as well.
It's like
a 3 out of 10 roughly on Rotten Tomatoes.
If you go online, you know, there's like editing mistakes. There's like wardrobe mistakes. There's like green screen mistakes that have somehow made it into the movie.
Oh, I really want to look up this now.
It's like objectively probably not that great, and her acting was not reviewed very well.
I love you trying to stay indifferent. It's objectively probably not an Oscar winning film.
Yeah, there's a place for not Oscar winning films.
There is.
Sometimes you want a shitty Netflix movie. I've been there. I'm not hating.
You're on a date night.
But I think what's interesting to break down a little bit here is the fact that Addison is obviously super talented. And I think, like, I'm going to put a stop to anyone that says that she's not super talented. To develop 100 million followers basically across all her platforms, she's got something going on. She's got an X factor.
Yeah.
And whether you like it or not, she's doing a very, very good job of her career right now.
Yeah.
2 years ago, she was a girl in college. She's now got a starring role in a movie on Netflix. She's got a reality TV show. It's all happening for her. What I think is really interesting is that she was cast in this. And I think it's interesting for us to break down why that was. And I think the fact that this movie has gone to number one on Netflix perfectly exemplifies it.
Mm.
People might say, oh, it's not fair that she was cast in this movie because she hasn't got any acting experience and she's not even a great actress, which is shown by the end product. And I think I would really push back on that to say that it's not fair, because I think it's sort of turning a blind eye to the fact that it's actually not about what's fair. And I think a lot of production houses, Netflix, HBO, it's not actually necessarily all about the quality of acting anymore. What they're trying to do is guarantee eyeballs on what they're producing. It is a hard slog out there in the attention for time and the attention for eyeballs. And I think what Netflix has really tapped into, and what I think we will continue to see, is social media people being cast in a lot of mainstream activity, whether that be singing or acting, movies, TV shows. I think we're going to continue to see it, because the thing is, they're an inbuilt marketing machine. Machine. Like, you think about how much Addison was promoting He's All That, the movie, the lead up, everything, to literally more than 100 million people. Crazy. Like, you can't buy that.
Those follower numbers are always crazy to me when I see people with followers in the, like, 100 million. Like, let's say 50% of the world has a reliable internet connection, like, to the point where they're regularly enjoying TikTok content. 100 million people means, like, roughly 1 in 30 in the world are a follower of that person.
Yeah.
Meaning, if you walk into a random room, it's probably someone in there who engages with that person's content. That's a vast following.
Huge.
Huge.
What do you think about the fact that people like this are being cast in traditional media?
I don't know. I think there's this weird, like, snobbiness, not only, and you'd only see it with movies and music and everything, but you just, like, around, like, content and entertainment these days. And I think you saw the exact same thing with, like, Jake Paul boxing fight and the Logan Paul boxing fight.
Totally.
People are like, oh, nah, but, like, it's not a real boxing fight. Who the hell cares? Why are you watching boxing? You're watching boxing to be entertained. Whether you get that entertainment from seeing someone perform at an incredibly high athlete level, or whether you're seeing it from the banter beforehand, or whether you're just seeing it because you want to see two people punch each other who really don't like each other. Like, at the end of the day, you are there for the entertainment. Just because that entertainment doesn't take on the most pure form of which it has traditionally been enjoyed doesn't make it any less entertaining.
Totally.
And I actually say this about a lot of movies.
You guys out there saying, oh, Jake Paul's not a real boxer, he's not boxing real people. The fact that you're even saying that shows you're engaged, shows you know what's happening.
Yeah.
Therefore, you are paying for them.
And your engagement is eyeballs, and your eyeballs are money, and your money is what drives the economy.
You are giving them exactly what they want. They don't care if the reception is positive or negative.
Bring the haters on.
Yeah. Same as, I guarantee you,
because a lot of those haters are buying those pay-per-views.
Guarantee you the producers of He's All That were not going into that movie thinking we're making an Oscar-winning movie.
Yeah.
I promise you that probably wasn't the intention or the expectation.
No, it's a movie that a bunch of 14-year-olds.
We're going to make a movie that every single teenage girl in America is going to watch.
Yeah. And I actually think a lot of the time with entertainment, that the snobbiness of it can be a bit of a downfall. Like, I say this with a lot of movie reviews, where these days I actually don't trust a lot of movie reviewers. For example, I use this when I'm talking about movies like Dunkirk. Dunkirk, if you've watched it, is objectively a cinematography masterpiece. It is stunning, incredible, mind-blowing, from the audio to the music to how it captures. But for, at least from my opinion, objectively, in terms of my enjoyment of it, I didn't find it a really, like, fun movie to watch or a really kind of like enjoyable experience. But then there are movies like Zombieland that are just dumb. By no means are they cinematography masterpieces, but they're really fun to watch and they're enjoyable. And you know what? While the reviewer might have given Dunkirk a 10 out of 10 and Zombieland a 6 or a 7, at the end of the day, in terms of where I got the most fun spending 2 hours of my time, Zombieland definitely.
Yeah.
And I think that like at the end of the day, there is a lot of this like snobbiness, and you see that where people are effectively being those movie critics, but to areas that aren't just the film industry. They're like, no, how dare you be entertained by this non-purist content?
Yeah.
Like at the end of the day, it's the exact point you made. All these entertainment companies are doing is trying to get eyeballs on the content. That is literally all that matters. If what they're producing is literally a blank screen for 2 hours, but it gets millions of people watching it, then they're going to do that over a masterpiece that gets 10,000 people.
Absolutely.
Like it's just the way it works.
Like the moment that you are snobby and pretentious about what content is or isn't or should or shouldn't be is the moment that you're falling behind. Mm. Like literally the moment you're falling behind. I don't know. I feel like TikTok came about and 2 years ago, we were probably like, oh, what is TikTok? What is Musical.ly? Like these teenagers dancing to dances. I don't get it. I don't get it. Like this is dumb. It's not what it should be. And the fact is, if we said that, we were wrong. We were wrong. And if you're ignoring what people are gravitating towards, you are falling behind. And I think TikTok has actually really been that thing for a lot of people. I think TikTok came out and people were like, oh, the teenagers these days, like dancing their little dances to songs and stuff. And it's just like, you know what? That's the biggest media app of 2021. And like that has been the biggest disruptor to social media in the last 10 years, I reckon.
And you can see every other app, YouTube,
now
Instagram,
it.
All suddenly being like, holy crap, this is a thing we can't ignore.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so easy to sometimes sit there and be like, I don't understand it. I don't like it. Therefore it's dumb. Like, and that's something that I've really wrestled with like NFTs. And I know that you and I have both been talking about NFTs a lot. And like, I literally still sit there and I'm like, I don't get it. And because of that, I personally don't fully engage with it, probably to my detriment. If I had jumped into NFTs when we were first talking about NFTs, bought a bunch of those like Bored Ape, whatever the hell they are, probably would have been a great investment. I personally don't understand it. But at the end of the day, if something is a thing, there's no point just sitting there with like your fingers in your ears being like, la, 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 nope, it doesn't exist. I choose to believe this is dumb. No, see there is demand, see there is activity. And honestly, you just got to respect it and you've got to do what you can to understand it.
I also think like curiosity is just such a beautiful quality in people. Mm. Like I think staying curious is almost like one of the number one recipes of success that I see in people that I would hope to emulate is that they're curious about new things, is that they're not like resting on their laurels about what they currently know and thinking that what they know now is enough to get ahead in life. It's like they're constantly appreciating the fact that there's new things. And I think about people that like have done that so well. And I don't know, off the top of my head, I think like Andy Miller is one of those people. You know, like I think Andy Miller came into esports and he didn't pretend to know everything about esports or esports orgs or what it took to run an esports org. And I still think like even now, if I am speaking or interacting with him, you can tell he like really leans on the people around him that know more about particular areas. And I think that is like such a sign of intelligence.
Yeah.
And it's like
knowing what you don't know.
Knowing what you don't know is such a sign of intelligence, but also not appreciating that just because you don't know about something doesn't mean it's not valid. Like Andy's a smart guy, you know, like Andy probably knows a lot about a lot of things, but he, I think, also recognizes consistently that he's still got a lot to learn and there's lots of things that probably have the potential to be very successful that he doesn't know about.
Yeah.
I think like that is such a cool quality to possess and it's something that like I hope to emulate more. So if you don't know about something but you can tell there's like something behind it, I don't know, like stay curious. Just because you don't get it doesn't mean it's wrong.
And in a business sense, if you're the person sitting there seeing a trend emerge, seeing audience and viewership or money or demand or anything go towards something, and you are just talking about how dumb it is and how you don't like it, you're going to be the grandpa with the Nokia who refuses to change the iPhone, and you're going to fall behind.
Yeah, totally.
That is a good takeaway. I like that. That went in a much deeper, more interesting direction than I thought our Addison Rae topic would go.
All right. I think that's all we have time for this week, guys. Thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much for being part of Watch Time in this space. Like, this office is where Watch Time started. I remember when we moved into the office and we were like, maybe this will be a podcast room. And I'm very grateful for the audience that we've developed on Watch Time over the last 2 years. Like, it's been so fun.
It's been very fun.
And something that I think, like, I'm excited to do more of. And I think a new space will encourage all sorts of new things. So anyway, we're not going anywhere. You're still going to see us next week. It will just be in a different location. But thank you guys so much for watching and your support as always. And we'll see you guys next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.